You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Good afternoon, Eastern Iowa. It's just past 3 o'clock on this fourth day of October of 2021. You're listening to the Gym Class. You're on KGYM, 1600 AM, 102.3 FM, 106.3 FM in Iowa City. Spencer Wagon in for Scott Unash here on this Monday. And the show brought to you by DuPaco Community Credit Union with you till 4 o'clock. Then Mr. Brommelkamp back in the air chair here this afternoon after a Friday afternoon away. I got called out of the radio bullpen twice and span of a couple days here. Good to see producer Ben back on the other side of the glass as well. He was out for a chunk of time last week, and we're all pinch hitting, so good to see him back over there. 319-366-1600, the phone number to know if you want to text us, you want to call us, you want to react to what happened over the weekend. Lots to talk about as we bring you in here on a Monday. College football and the NFL will take up a lot of our conversation today. But we are going to talk some baseball here today as well. We are just a day away from the baseball playoffs getting underway. We got the wild card games, the division series. I have the full schedule in front of me here, and it's a great time of the year if you like baseball, football. And I was looking on Twitter yesterday and saw that NBA teams are having their open practices. My Milwaukee Bucks had an open practice, and there were thousands of people in Fiserv Forum to cheer on the reigning NBA champion. Still feels pretty good to say that. Again, Spencer Wagon here with you and joining me today as well. As always, one of the familiar voices of the show, Mark Dukes. Mark, how are you, sir?
I'm very well, Spencer. Glad to have you aboard today. And might I say you're a pretty effective reliever.
Thank you. I made the Josh Hader analogy on Friday. I think it went pretty well. A few hiccups, but we closed out the deal, and now I guess I'm in middle relief here, starting off the afternoon of programming. But good to work with you for the first time, Mark.
Absolutely, and at this point, I want to introduce a new sponsor, a segment sponsor for the Gym Class. It is the Double Z Bar and Grill, 629 Ellis Boulevard Northwest. We're going to have a segment that Double Z is going to sponsor going forward. It's a terrific new place. James Larson, the owner, I've known James for a number of years and very pleased they have jumped on board. Spencer, we have a crisis in America.
We do. How are you folks out there? That's something people can text in. How can you survive without Facebook and Instagram this afternoon, Mark?
It might be the most productive or least productive day. you know how you feel when the internet is down. You feel naked. Well, for a lot of people, they sit on Facebook and Instagram most of the day. And for me, I do not miss the toxic political comments at all, but I will say that we use Facebook to promote our shows. People use it to promote their businesses, as Double Z does. So it's kind of a mixed bag here for the time being.
It certainly is. Twitter is, I think, the only social media app aside from maybe like a TikTok or a Snapchat that's actually working. So you can follow us all on Twitter. KGYM Radio has a Twitter account. I have a Twitter account. Mark, you do too. Of course, Todd and Alex do too. But if you are a fan of the Facebook, it is not a good afternoon for you.
It is not. But we do have plenty to chew on today. You mentioned college football, professional football from yesterday and Thursday, and more tonight, Major League Baseball. Spencer, let's dive right into that Iowa-Maryland game on Friday night. Certainly, maybe not the winner was unpredictable, but certainly the way in which it transpired. A huge victory for the Iowa Hawkeyes at Maryland, and many good aspects to this game for the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, absolutely. I said on Twitter I was very wrong about how the game would go, but what I was not wrong about was kind of doubting that the Maryland Terrapins would be a team to beat the Iowa Hawkeyes. And boy, 51-14, the 31-point second quarter. I don't have the stat in front of me, but I know it had been a long, long time since Iowa had put up that many points. I think it was 2002, actually, since they scored anywhere close to that in a quarter. But that's really where it turned. And what more can you say about this defense? Six interceptions, five off of Talia Tagovailoa, and then, six different Hawkeyes with an interception in the win. And Spencer Petras, I mean, he quieted a lot of doubters in that contest. He played a really, really good game against Maryland.
He did indeed. And I don't know how much longer Iowa can ride this defense. I mean, the offense was very effective in terms of production on the ground and through the air, almost 400 yards. I mean, this defense, though, seven overall takeaways. You mentioned the interceptions. To me, Spencer, the biggest play of the game occurred just as the second quarter was beginning and after Iowa took a 10-7 lead. And that was the hit on the kickoff by Sebastian Castro, which knocked Dante Dimas out of the game, Maryland's top wide receiver who had already caught four balls for 61 yards. He didn't play the rest of the game. And I think it took, not only gave Iowa more momentum, but took a lot of the wind out of the sails of the Maryland Terrapins. And frankly, I had to look up Sebastian Castro. I didn't know a whole lot about him. I knew he was a second team strong safety. He's a sophomore out of Oaklawn, Illinois. But to me, Spencer, that hit right there opened the floodgates for Iowa.
It really did, because it gave him an incredibly short field, number one. Number two, you hate to see a player of that caliber like Dimas get knocked out, and that was just a brutal injury to see. And, of course, Fox Sports, because there was a turnover, kept showing the replay over and over again. And, you certainly hope the young man's okay, but that took away their X factor. You know, like you said, Mark, four catches for 61 yards through that first quarter of action. And he found that soft spot in the Hawkeyes defense. And you don't know what happens if he stays in the game. But like you said, things changed in a dime there.
Yeah, going into the game, we talked a lot about Iowa's offensive line play and how it needed to improve, and it did. As I mentioned, nearly 400 yards total offense. The running game got going. For the most part, protected Spencer Petras, paving the way for him to throw three touchdown passes. He also rushed for two, but I thought the offensive line really came of age in this game.
It really did, and that was one of the questions we talked about on Friday, and I know you and Scott did as well. The Maryland defense came in leading the Big Ten in sacks. It was 16 sacks total throughout the first four games of the year, and the offensive line was certainly a key for the Hawkeyes in getting success, both running the ball and giving Spencer Petras time to throw the ball in that contest. 319-366-1600 if you want to weigh in on the Hawkeye game from Friday, the Iowa State game. We'll talk about that a little bit coming up here in just a bit. Also some NFL football as we roll on with the gym class here on a Monday, kicking off the new week, first full week of October. And it was good to see out of those five total touchdowns from Petras, three passing and two rushing, three different receivers, Mark, get a chance to score in that game, including Arlen Bruce, who had a very nice game as a freshman.
Yeah, that was an item I started in my notes. So Arlen Bruce, six catches, 43 yards, and one touchdown. And the new depth charts are out today. I mean, Bruce isn't even on the two deeps. But he is, suffice to say, an emerging star on this team, along with Keegan Johnson. It probably precipitated the news today that Quavon Matthews has entered the transfer portal. He's a sophomore wide receiver out of Largo, Florida. I mean, the emergence of Bruce and Johnson, and you got Tracy and Reganey and Charlie Jones and whatnot. Matthews likely saw the writing on the wall, but we're going to see more and more of Arlen Bruce. And I, for me, I can't get enough of him right now.
Absolutely. Good to see him in the lineup here and performing well. The text line just logged out of itself. Just something new. Never had that happen. This is a hiccup in the reliever book here, but we'll try to get that back up during the break. As someone just the reason why I'm mentioning the text line is someone just texted in 2712 saying it made a difference having Kyler's shot back in the starting lineup. I think we would all agree with that for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Next to the center,
Linderbaum.
He's got the most experience in that offensive line. I think it made a huge difference. I would agree. Kyler Linderbaum, I'm sorry.
Yeah, 319-366-1600. Thanks for your text, 2712. Saw an NFL text come in a few minutes ago. That's coming up later on in the show. Lots to talk about NFC Northwise, but we'll talk about that coming up here in just a bit. Well, Marco, we knew it was going to be a huge game coming up on Saturday, Iowa-Penn State. And now the rankings have proven it. Number 3, Iowa. Number 4, Penn State at Kinnick Stadium. 3 o'clock on Saturday. I mean, I don't need to sound generic when I say it. It's going to be a massive game and probably going to be just an awesome atmosphere in Iowa City on Saturday.
Is it a big deal, Spencer, that ESPN Game Day is not going to be in Iowa City? We know that Fox's Big Noon Saturday will be on the Pentacrest on Saturday, but people making a big deal about ESPN Game Day not showing up. They're going to go to Oklahoma and Texas, the Red River rivalry. And why would ESPN go anywhere to promote a Fox game? Is it a big deal to you?
It's honestly not to me. I still, I watch College Game Day every Saturday. I very rarely watch the Big Noon Kickoff show. I think a lot of folks, at least the people I saw mentioning and talking on Twitter over the weekend, were saying, well, they can come to both. Game Day and Fox's show could be at both because they were just at both for the Wisconsin-Notre Dame game.
Sure.
But at the same time, that game was in Chicago, and I'm not sure logistically how you can fit both in Iowa City. I'm sure you could do it, not saying you can't do it, but I don't know. I just to me, it's kind of silly to start a week talking about a top five Big Ten matchup in your city by, complaining that College Game Day is not coming to talk about the game at 8 in the morning. You already have a very good show. Plus, Gus Johnson, some people like him, some people hate him, but, he's one of the best college football announcers out there. I believe he and Joel Klatt are doing the game on Fox. So it's going to be a fantastic broadcast, no matter whether Game Day is there or not.
Yeah, and it's obviously a huge game. Numbers 3 and 4 in the country. Is it the biggest game in Iowa program history? No, please pump the brakes. I mean, we tend to live in the here and now. Yeah, it's probably one of the bigger games in Iowa history. But I was there in 1985 when number one Iowa faced number two Michigan. And to me, that's still the benchmark in Iowa program history. But I mean, you can go back to 1960 when Iowa was number one and played number 3 Minnesota. People that remember that game, I don't, would say that was a huge game as well. And really in that 1985 season, a few weeks after Iowa beat Michigan, it had to go to Ohio State, which I think was highly ranked at the time. And on a really rainy day, I recall it as a very miserable day. Iowa didn't play well. Ohio State beat them. That was a huge game as well. So let's just say it's one of the biggest games in Iowa history.
I believe it's been since 2006 that Game Day has not been in Iowa City. That was when number one Ohio State came to town. So been quite a while. The drought will continue. I'm on the fence about it, honestly. Like, I personally don't care, but at the same time, it's always cool to see Game Day in your town. But if they want to go cover Texas, Oklahoma, then so be it. That's their choice, and that's the choice they've made. I think Iowa-Penn State's going to be a better game, but, somebody's got to cover the other stuff, too, and I think we should just focus on the game and not the surrounding stuff.
6429 on the text line. ESPN doesn't want to promote a Fox game 2 out of 3 weeks. Plus, with the role they allegedly played in getting Texas and Oklahoma to go to the SEC, there's a vested interest. Look for ESPN to further increase the SEC bias they already have.
Can't say I necessarily disagree with that, 6439. Another texter that was 0209 talking about the offensive line, saying they believe the front five stayed in the game without a lot of rotation and saying that helped against Maryland. The other point that they made was game day is a distraction in the text line from 0209 there too.
Well, I'm looking forward to talking about this game later in the week. I know we're going to have a Penn State reporter on Thursday's show, and we'll talk the Iowa perspective tomorrow and or Wednesday with beat writers for the Hawkeyes. But isn't this Iowa's Western Division to win now? I mean, you've got a mess. Your Wisconsin Badgers, not your Wisconsin Badgers, Spencer, but not looking good at all. Two losses already in the West. I mean, could you make an argument that Nebraska might be Iowa's biggest competition after the Penn State game?
I would definitely agree with that, at least at this point. I think it's Nebraska and then maybe Minnesota is your number two and number three teams in the Big Ten West. Wisconsin's got a pretty favorable schedule, too. I mean, if they get things sorted out, which if the same Wisconsin team that played against Michigan on Saturday shows up the rest of the season, I don't think they're going to get much figured out at all. But their schedule, aside from the Iowa game, is, you know, all the same Big Ten West teams. I think they play Army randomly in there, too. Wisconsin does at Camp Randall. But, yeah, I mean, the Big Ten West, Wisconsin, you know, they were within 13-10 in that game on Saturday, but outscored 25-7 the rest of the way in that contest. Graham Mertz and I think their good tight end Jake Ferguson also knocked out both with chest injuries from that game on Saturday. Both were listed as questionable. At least I know Mertz was for their contest against Illinois this weekend. But the Wisconsin offensive line has been bad. One thing I noticed, too, is looking at the stats for that Michigan game, Mark, Wisconsin, a team, a program known for running the football. You think of all the great running backs, Jonathan Taylor, Melvin Gordon, all the great backs they've had. They ran for 43 yards against Michigan.
Yeah, that's really a head-scratcher. You mentioned those two guys and Ron Dayne and so many others, a great running tradition in addition to great defense at Wisconsin, and it just isn't there this year. And not sure why, whether it's the offensive line or the running backs per se. But that's been a problem for Wisconsin this year, as you know. And, Nebraska waxed Northwestern. Northwestern's a really puzzling team for me this year, now sitting at 2-3. We know about Illinois, not very good. Minnesota and Purdue locked up, and Minnesota got the better of that one. Iowa will see both these teams later on. But, you know, it's not going to be an easy game for Iowa at Wisconsin by any means. That's still a very solid defense that the Badgers have. But Nebraska playing much, much better in my mind.
Nebraska had 657 yards of offense against Northwestern. I know Mike Hankwitz, Northwestern's defensive coordinator, he retired at the end of last year, if I'm not mistaken. But, I mean, to go from one of the best units in the Big Ten that Northwestern had to giving up 657 yards to Nebraska in a span of a few short months, that's it's kind of a brutal wake-up call for the Wildcats.
Yeah, and in the East, Jim Harbaugh's got a nice team at Michigan. Whether it can, this will be the year that Michigan knocks off Ohio State, we shall see. Michigan State also 5-0. And my goodness, Indiana, a team that many thought, at least going into the season opener against Iowa, thought, you know, this is going to be Coach Allen's best team. And Michael Penix Jr. has to be the most unlucky college football player. I mean, each of the last three seasons, he suffered season-ending injuries. And now a shoulder separation is going to keep him on the sidelines. He's week to week. I saw this guy interviewed Big Ten Media Days. Just a really sharp kid. Liked him a lot. A lot of talent, but man, he has been very unlucky.
Yeah, he definitely has. And Indiana had a really tough draw to start the year, too. I mean, you know, they struggled against Western Kentucky a couple weeks ago, and Michigan State let them back in the game, Western Kentucky, that is. But Indiana's played three teams that are in the top five this week, Iowa, Penn State, and Cincinnati, out of the first 5 weeks of the year. So the Hoosiers got very few breaks there. And obviously, being in the Big Ten East, you still have to play Michigan. You still have to play Ohio State. So Indiana expectations, they're performing. Their performance has not met up with those expectations so far this year.
You know, maybe you've heard Scott and I, Spencer, talk about polls, and I'm of the opinion, and always have been, that we don't need a poll until the first week of October, which would be right now. Then again, what would we have to talk about in August when the preseason polls come out? I mean, the AP preseason poll, Iowa was 18th and Penn State 19th. Now they're 3-4. Iowa State was 7th. Not even receiving a vote. Clemson was number 3. Probably lucky to be 500 right now. And on. And Miami was 14th. We know about them. What do you think about the polls? Am I on board with this? Or you like the preseason poll?
I see the point you're making about what are we going to talk about in the preseason without that preseason ranking. But, you know, you look at it and how many teams are so highly ranked to start the year that fall out. It kind of raises that question, right? The question of do these make sense anymore? Can we wait a month and see how teams are and then do a ranking? I think it's a good question.
Everybody's got a body at work by this time of the season, and I think it's much more accurate. But maybe I'm making too much of that. But last thing I wanted to talk about with you, I watched a lot of the Cincinnati Notre Dame game, and man, was I impressed with not only Cincinnati as a whole, but quarterback Desmond Ridder. He is solid, and on the Notre Dame side of things, Brian Kelly thinks he has three quarterbacks. In my mind, he's got none. Consequently, a loss.
Yeah, Desmond Ridder is definitely a special talent. I mean, I saw him against Indiana. Watched that game a couple weeks back against the Hoosiers. And, he's just a spectacular talent. And Cincinnati's a team, too. I mean, you look at them in the rankings here. The AP poll has them 5th, right behind Iowa and Penn State. So, you know, depending on who wins the Iowa Penn State game this coming weekend, you could see Cincinnati keep climbing up. They probably have maybe one or two tough games left. I would imagine a game with like UCF would be maybe a challenge for them. But you know they're past I think the toughest part of their schedule, playing in the American Conference. That's for sure.
Speaking of college football, our Friday Pick 6 brought to you by Emo's Hideaway. Scott Unash. By the way, Scott taking a day off today. He'll be back tomorrow. Scott Unash with his second straight victory for the panel. And that means Garland from Cedar Rapids is the winner of $25 gift card to Emo's Hideaway. So congratulations to Scott and Garland. The panel will form again next Friday. Spencer, let me give a Emo's Hideaway scoreboard update, and then we'll take our first break. The scoreboard brought to you by Emo's out there off First Avenue next to Home Depot in Cedar Rapids. Open every day at 4 o'clock except for Sundays. Great food, a great place to catch up with friends out there. On the scoreboard today, former Hawkeye Thomas Gilman has won a gold medal in the Senior World Freestyle Wrestling Championships in Oslo, Norway. He becomes the first former Hawkeye to win a world title since Bill Zadig in 2006. We mentioned Purdue and Iowa earlier. That game, a week from Saturday, is set for a 2:30 kickoff on ABC. And finally, the Chicago Cubs used just about as many players as the team registered victories this year. The Cubs setting a major league record using 69 players in a 71-win season.
Oh my goodness. Makes you.
Hey, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to talk National Football League, what happened over the weekend, and get you ready for the Major League Baseball playoffs right after this.
All right, we'll be back. Mark and Spencer on the Gym Class here in KGYM.
The final game of NFL Week 4 is tonight, and FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you up to $10 back. For example, tonight in the Chargers-Raiders contest, maybe you like the Chargers' high-powered offense to come out firing. You can bet the Chargers' money line. You can bet Justin Herbert over passing yards, over the total points. The possibilities are endless. There's no feeling like nailing a same game parlay bet, so lock in your bet on FanDuel Sportsbook today and get up to $10 back if your bet doesn't win. New to FanDuel Sportsbook? Sign up today with promo code KUHN to also receive a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code KUHN so they know I sent you. Must be 21 plus and present in Iowa. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms of sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile or web. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
You want your lights on and your garage door going up and down and your refrigerator refrigerating. And so do the people at Lynn County REC, because they live here and work here just like you do. They have kids in school here, shop on Sunday afternoons here, cheer on the sidelines here, and need their lights and garage doors and fridges to work just like you do. That, in a nutshell, is what an electric cooperative is. Members who share a community, choosing the best options for affordable, reliable, safe energy. When the member leaders of Lynn County REC make decisions, they're keeping their own family and yours in mind. The choices they make directly affect them, the same way they affect you, so they consider each option carefully. And as with any electric cooperative, any profit made during the year is shared back with members like you. Those are just some of the benefits of membership at Lynn County Rural Electric Cooperative. October is National Cooperative Month. Find out even more at lynncountyrec.com.
When you create some of the world's best windows and doors, you won't let just anyone sell them. You want window and door experts. That's why WeatherShield windows are only sold at local, trusted, independent dealers, not at big box stores. WeatherShield never compromises on quality, offering unparalleled value, energy efficiency, and expert craftsmanship. Alexander Lumber is proud to be a WeatherShield dealer. Visit them at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
3:32 on your Monday afternoon. Thanks for joining the Gym Class here on KGYM, 1600 AM, 102.3 and 106.3 on your FM dial. Spencer Wagon in for Scott Unash here on a Monday, joined by Mark Dukes. Mark, before we get to NFL, a couple texts came in that I thought were worthy of mentioning during our college football chat to start the hour. Cyclone Tim checking in. Not sure I've ever seen a weekend where Iowa and Iowa State won by such huge margins. I think we can all agree on that there for sure.
No doubt about it. You'd have to search back in the record books, but 59 for Iowa State, 51 for Iowa. Doesn't happen every weekend.
David and Hudson also chiming in too, wanted to get to his text saying, please just don't lay a dud like at Wisconsin after the blowout of Ohio State. Speaking of Iowa coming off the big win over Maryland, saying don't lay a dud against Penn State this coming weekend. They can play a great game and lose and still have all of their goals in front of them. He says, go Hawks on that text as well. That was from David and Hudson. Also, a couple texts coming in. We talked about the polls briefly. Mark, 7490 saying the preseason poll gives people something to talk about. This year, some teams lost veteran quarterbacks and the transfer portal elevated a lot of teams, along with COVID allowing fifth and sixth year scholarship players. Said it was a tough season to predict. Definitely agree there. Obviously, with all the talent coming back, some of the transfers that going in and out of teams, definitely a tough year to predict for this 2021 season. And then 85 also chiming in. If it wasn't for preseason polls, there's no way Iowa is number 4 at this point, jumped in the rankings thanks to wins over Indiana and Iowa State. Now those wins aren't as impressive. They would be top 10, but not top 4 if we go to that model we talked about, Mark, where we start the polls here in the first week of October. So some interesting points brought up there on the text line. Again, 319-366-1600 if you want to chime in here on a Monday.
Interesting and fair in my mind. And before we jump into the NFL and a stupid decision by Urban Meyer, to say the least, let me update one item on the Eagles Hideaway scoreboard. It's official at Talladega. Bubba Wallace has won his first NASCAR race. That was rained out yesterday at Talladega. Now shortened today, just short of the completion of stage 2. But it's raining again there, and they have called the race. Bubba Wallace, the winner.
Bubba Wallace, all right. Congratulations to Bubba. Well, Mark, where do you want to begin with the NFL this afternoon?
Go ahead, Spence. I'm sorry.
Well, where do you want to begin with the NFL this afternoon?
I mean, the story of the day, Urban Meyer. I mean, I'm sure you've seen the video. Jacksonville played Thursday night in Ohio, and he stayed over to visit family and friends, went out to a restaurant over the weekend with said family, and then was captured sitting at the bar and pretty inappropriate, to say the least, contact with a woman who is not his wife. And it's gone viral. Of course, Urban Meyer has apologized. You only apologize when you get caught. This is a perfect example of, Spencer, live your life as if someone was going to capture your every move on camera.
Yeah, hearing his press conference, it was almost like a half apology. You know what he said, and you know, I apologize for being a distraction. Well, you apologize for being a distraction, but do you apologize for what you were doing, what you were caught on video having done to you?
And he said his wife and family were not very happy. I can imagine.
Yeah,
he was being an idiot. Said he should have walked away, and he did far from walking away from the videos I've seen. And man, he's got trouble at home. He's got trouble with his Jacksonville team, both on and off the field. And man, he has really dug himself a hole.
In the press conference as well, the brief video of him apologizing, using the air quotes, he also decided to bring up that Trevor Lawrence had his bachelor party in Las Vegas, and he told Trevor, you got to be careful, and you got to, you know, stuff like that. And as somebody pointed out, I'm sure Trevor is thrilled that his coach mentioned to the Jacksonville media that he had his bachelor party in Las Vegas. And you know, at the same time, why does anybody care what Trevor Lawrence does for his bachelor party? I personally don't, but you know, some people might.
Some people care about what an NFL head coach does out in public, and James on the text line, I did see the second video. Not flattering by any means to Urban Meyer, but that was off the field, Spencer. We're NFC North guys.
Yep.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Watch the Bears. Watch the Packers. I'm here to say, and I speak objectively and not as a fan, your Packers are for real. That first game is inexplainable against the New Orleans Saints. But since then, the Packers, they have a running game. I think they have a better defense. And, of course, they have Aaron Rodgers.
This is very true. Yesterday's game, Aaron Rodgers has definitely still got it. Ben Roethlisberger definitely does not. Really kind of tough to watch him play yesterday. He was immobile. He just couldn't really throw the ball down the field. He missed on a couple of big potential touchdown plays for the Steelers. But, you're right. The Packers, aside from that week one game, they look like, the team we expected to see. The one concern, and I say this as half fan, half radio guy, Now you see some of the injuries stacking up, and of course they already had some key injuries with David Bakhtiari, the key offensive lineman, out. Za'Darius Smith, one of their best defensive players, out. But now Jair Alexander, one of the best corners on their team, had a shoulder injury, tried to bring down Najee Harris, the beast of a running back for Pittsburgh yesterday, and there is still some doubt as to the severity of that injury. I saw some transcripts from head coach Matt LaFleur's press conference from earlier today, and it looked like he might be out for the year. And for a Packer defense that struggled to start the season and has some injuries on the back end now, I don't think that's necessarily a good thing, but we'll see who steps up.
Yeah, the Packers fighting through those things similar to a lot of teams. The Bears losing David Montgomery for what length of time, I don't know. But very productive day yesterday for Montgomery. Justin Fields was very good, dropping dimes against the Lions. Now, Matt Nagy's saying today, we're going to check on Andy Dalton's health in the next couple days. If he's ready to go, he's our starter. What are you doing? What are you doing, Matt Nagy?
Andy Dalton must have some, incriminating photos of someone somewhere. I just don't understand. Justin Fields. I mean, I think we could all say, okay, they were playing the Lions. Let's all, pause here for a second. But Justin Fields, when, he was given the tools to succeed, he looked pretty darn good yesterday.
He did, and the Bears' offensive line played much better than it did against Cleveland. Now, the Browns, their defense is so far superior to the Lions. I get that. The Browns made Chicago look silly, whether it was Fields or would have been Dalton. I don't think it would have mattered, but they're not going to face a defense like Cleveland week in and week out. But, Spencer, I'm here to say that I thought it was the Packers' division for the taking, and I think it still is. I'm not all in on the Bears at 2-2. Listen, the next five games for the Bears: Las Vegas, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, San Francisco, and Pittsburgh.
That's a tough road, to say the very least.
Yeah, it could be 2-7 in a hurry. But strange things happen in the NFL, including both New York teams winning on the same day. The Jets and Giants.
That was certainly something to be said. I know the Giants beat the Saints, didn't they, Mark? And then the Jets going to overtime with Tennessee yesterday afternoon. Zach Wilson didn't look too bad. Still lots of work to be done there, but the Jets can say they have a win.
They do, and both those games went overtime. And, yes, previous texter, we will mention your Arizona Cardinals going to Los Angeles and beating the Rams, and the Cardinals 4-0. Maybe the most surprising team in the NFL, I don't know.
They have to be up there. Kyler Murray has looked every bit of what Cardinal fans are hoping or were hoping to see from him. But to go in and dominate the Rams, that's quite an accomplishment, especially with how they did it.
It is, and of course we had last night's much ballyhooed game between Brady and Bill. Brady came away with the victory. I thought Belichick put together a nice game plan and just didn't have the enough players, I don't think, to overcome Tampa Bay. It was a close game, entertaining game, and now we can put that aside and get on with our lives, right?
Yeah, all the hype. I think the Today Show was there on Friday to have like a pregame festivities on Friday morning to hype it up, and it turned out to be a pretty good game. Brady got the win in the end, and I said on Friday when I filled in for Todd on the Todd and Alex show in the afternoon, I said I haven't been a believer in the Patriots since Tom Brady left, and I'm still not.
No, I don't think so either. And as long as we're talking about the NFL, let's give me a chance to introduce our new segment here on the Gym Class. It's called What to Look For Tonight, and it's brought to you by Double Z Bar and Grill, located at 629 Ellis Boulevard Northwest. The Double Z Bar and Grill is your home for NFL and college football with 17, count them, 17 big screens and the world-famous Big As Your Head Tenderloin. What to look for tonight, folks? What do you think? I'm pointing towards Vegas and the Chargers, Monday Night Football, and should be a whale of a game. And great place to catch it at Double Z Bar and Grill.
Yeah, it should be a heck of a contest. Two teams that have been playing really well. Chargers have become kind of a secondary Justin Herbert fan for his last couple, his rookie season, and then here in the first couple games of 2021, he's had a heck of a rookie campaign and a great start to his second year. And then the Raiders too; they've had kind of a nice start to their season too. So you could see some. Nice plays in this game, and I think it should be a pretty good Monday night contest.
I think so, too. Go ahead and catch it at Double Z Bar and Grill and get one of those big-as-your-head tenderloins. I've seen pictures, and, man, makes my mouth water, Spencer.
It's making me very hungry. It's about an hour and 15 minutes away from dinner time, so.
There you go.
Got to get those food talk in before dinner, and then you got to go home and eat. But Chargers, interesting, Mark. Of course, they had the big win over Kansas City last week, and it'd be interesting to see how they come off that big kind of emotional win, beating your division rival. You got another division rival coming in with the Raiders. Almost, my brain still wants to say Oakland every time I talk about them, but they're the Vegas Raiders now. Will the Chargers have kind of a letdown after that win over Kansas City, knocking off Patrick Mahomes of the Chiefs? We'll have to see what happens tonight.
Should be a very interesting game, and I'm a big fan of Derek Carr too on the other side with Las Vegas. I don't think he gets enough credit for sometimes in his career carrying the team with not a lot of talent, but we'll see what happens. I want to bring our poll question in today as well. It has to do with the NFL, sort of. It's brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City. Steve Anderson and his team doing great work there. Is anyone in the sports world having a worse Monday than Urban Meyer? Yes or no? And I'm glad Todd, the author of our poll question, put in there sports world. Because as we know, Facebook and Instagram are down. They're not having a very good Monday either.
No, they're not. The only other person I could think of is on the Sports Center right before we came on. They talked about the Mets and them not renewing their manager's contract or bringing their manager's option for the next year. So I think maybe the Mets, maybe a team that didn't make the playoffs this year, maybe some changes being made, although that pales in comparison to what Urban Meyer is dealing with, that's for sure.
Yeah, more changes, I'm sure, to come in the baseball world. In fact, Spencer, let's talk some baseball after our next break, okay?
Yeah, sounds good. Baseball playoffs, wildcard games start tomorrow, and we'll talk about that, get our predictions. One other thing I want to mention, too, if you want to listen to the Monday Night Football game, we got it for you here on KGYM. Looks like all of our frequencies going to have the Las Vegas Raiders and Los Angeles Chargers on the airwaves tonight. 319-366-1600. If you want to chime in, we'll talk some baseball coming up on KGYM.
Would you rather pay for software just once or every month for ever? Then make sure your business is ready for the next Microsoft licensing change, or you could be switched to a monthly charge and there'll be no going back. Network Computer Solutions can get you upgraded on time so you can beat those monthly fees. But contact them right away to get on their schedule. Go to ncsei.com. Friendly, local Network Computer Solutions. Lots of places are hiring now, but Midwest Metal Products is where you want to be. Family owned for over 55 years, they have second and third shift production openings, painters and powder coaters, as well as several other positions. Great starting wage, great benefits, including profit sharing, an air-conditioned shop, and on-the-job training. Non-tobacco users only. Drug screen and physical required. Equal opportunity employer. Apply online at MidwestMetalProducts.biz.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the world is throwing everything it has at you. And to succeed, you need someone to guide you through. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the tech advice to help you navigate whatever challenges you're up against and get you safely to where you want to be.
For advice on solutions like XPS 13 laptops powered by Intel Evo platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
5G is here, but the big carriers want you to sign a pricey long-term contract to get in on the action. Well, no more, because Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide with plans starting at just $35 a month with no contract. And get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299, all on America's best networks. 5G coverage, 5G phones, less money. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
3:50 on your Monday afternoon, KGYM 1600 AM, 102.3 FM, Cedar Rapids, and 106.3 in Iowa City. Spencer Wagon in for Scott Unash here. The gym class joined by Mark Dukes as we take you up till the 4 o'clock hour. Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn. Todd is back after away on Friday. They will be in from 4 until 6, talking, of course, plenty more about all things Hawkeyes, Cyclones, and I'm sure more about Mr. Urban Meyer on this Monday afternoon. But we're going to talk some baseball now, and definitely would appreciate your predictions to our talker text line, 319-366-1600. Let us know what you think is going to happen in the baseball playoffs. And Mark, I was hoping and maybe the Seattle Mariners or the Toronto Blue Jays would squeak into the AL wild card, but we are blessed with Red Sox Yankees yet again.
Yeah, we could have had a play-in game or two tonight, but that's not the way it transpired. Boston and New York getting wild card berths. They're going to square off in that wild card game for the right to face Tampa Bay. By the way, KGYM will have all your postseason action. We'll update times as they become available to you. The Dodgers, 106 wins, Spencer, have to play a one game. Who knows what will happen? Wild card game against the St. Louis Cardinals. And, man, that's hard to fathom. And then the winner of that series gets to play the 107 win San Francisco Giants. So interesting things going to happen in those wild card games the next 2 days. What about your Brewers? How confident are you against the Atlanta Braves?
I'd be more, I don't know if I want to use the word scared, but if the Braves had Ronald Acuna, I'd feel a little bit more or less confident. But, you know, the Brewers, you know, they did not have a great end to the season. Now, granted, they clinched a week ago Sunday, so everything was all wrapped up. Really didn't need to do anything, but they went 1-5, I think it was, down the stretch in their final six games. Won 1 of 3 against St. Louis, and then got swept by the Dodgers in this past weekend series. So not carrying a ton of momentum into the postseason. That does worry me a little bit. The pitching, though, has been fantastic. Corbin Burnes, Brandon Woodruff, Freddy Peralta. And when the offense is hot, they're as tough a team to beat as anybody out there. I think they'll get past the Braves. Do they get past either San Fran, L.A., or St. Louis? Not entirely sure at this point.
Yeah, very true. And the other series I didn't mention, the White Sox against the Astros, sure to be a very good series when that gets underway. And, of course, whoever wins between Boston and New York playing Tampa Bay, division rivals, I think we're set up for a terrific postseason in Major League Baseball. And, by the way, I'm efforting Cal Eldred, Kansas City Royals pitching coach, to join us and talk about the regular season and the playoffs. We'll let you know if and when we're able to line up Gal.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, Tampa versus Boston or New York and the ALDS. Obviously, that entire race there, even throwing Toronto, basically everybody in that division except for, Baltimore had a chance at the end there. Tampa and Boston, New York should be a pretty good series. White Sox, Astros. I know there's not a lot of love for the Astros anymore after everything that happened there. I know there's some Astros fans around the area, that's for sure. And still Houston fans are very passionate about their team. I'd like to see the White Sox come out of that one. I enjoy watching the White Sox play, so it'd be fun to see the White Sox come out of that one. When it comes to the National League, obviously be cheering for my Brewers. We'll see what happens. October's fun. A lot of crazy stuff happens in October. That's the beauty of postseason baseball for sure.
No doubt about it. And Spencer, I just can't get off the fact that you win 106 regular season games and you have to win one more just to advance to the next round. And I'm talking about the Dodgers. I mean, this has got to be changed. The wild card has to be changed. One game where anything can happen. We've seen in the past wild card teams get hot once they get to this stage. The Cardinals certainly capable of that. But if I'm a Dodger fan, man, what do you have to do? Well, you have to win a couple more games to get past the Giants, and that didn't happen.
You got to win 108 instead of 106, right?
Exactly, yeah.
7490 of the text line, talking about Max Scherzer. Of course, he's now with the Dodgers, and I've heard it's probably going to be Scherzer versus Wainwright in that NL wildcard game, if I'm not mistaken, coming up in a couple days. So it should be a great pitching matchup there nonetheless. 7490 talking about Scherzer. Does Scherzer have a good playoff record? Going to be tough for the Cardinals. I think that's definitely true to say, regardless of who's pitching for the Dodgers in that wild card game. But Mark, if you had to pick a World Series matchup and a World Series champion, who would it be?
That's as tough as the Emil's Hideaway pick six on Friday. It really is. I like the Chicago White Sox. I really do. I think it's got the White Sox have all the components to make a run, and it's not going to be easy. Tampa Bay's excellent team. Houston will be tough out of the chute, and I'm going to go with the Dodgers. Watch them lose to St. Louis in the wild card game, but I'm going to say the White Sox and Dodgers.
I'm going to go rematch Dodgers Rays. We're going to see that a second year in a row.
Wouldn't be surprised in the least.
I hope the Rays pull it off this time. 3148 saying shocker, a Brewer fan that roots for the White Sox. I'm sorry. I have been trained not to like the Cubs, and I know there are more than plenty Cub fans in Eastern Iowa, so I've already made enemies out of most of you, but just the way I grew up. I'm sorry. We don't root for the Cubs in this household, my father told me. And so there we are. So it's just how it goes. But
as a Twins fan, our season is over. retool for next year, but you got to kind of root for the team that won your division. And therefore, I'm going to get behind the White Sox. And I know we're coming to the end here, Spencer, and you're going to take us to the finish line, but we've got NFL action tonight, which you'll describe, but want to let you know what a pleasure it was to work with you today. Ben, glad you're feeling better back there in the studio. And Scott Unash and I will be with you tomorrow.
Excellent, Mark. Thanks very much. We'll work again down the road. Thanks to Ben over there answering the phone calls, and thanks to everybody who texted in. Todd and Alex are up next again. Monday Night Football coming your way tonight. Raiders and Chargers right here on KGYM. Have a great day, everybody. A great rest of your Monday, and we'll talk to you down the road. This is KGYM Sports Radio.
You're in a race against time, and the days aren't getting any longer. This fall, choose professionally powerful Echo outdoor power equipment to tackle the toughest cleanup jobs.